Random House Audio presents The Killer Angels by Michael Shera, read for you by Stephen Hoy.
Introduction. This is Jeff Shera. In 1964, a 12-year-old boy followed his father across a mile-long stretch of open ground, walking in the very footsteps of the men who, a century earlier, had made the most catastrophic massed assault in our history. We know the assault today as Pickett's Charge, and we can still walk that ground through the center of the enormous battlefield that spreads beyond the charming town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. All across the mile of grassy pasture, the father told the boy the story of what happened there, told the story of a man named Lewis Armistead, a Southerner, who led his men in that charge up toward Union soldiers commanded by a man named Hancock. Armistead and Hancock had been best friends, but now a horrible war had divided them. And on that one day in 1863, fate had brought them together again, to face each other on separate sides of a bloody line. On that day, they would meet for the final time. It was the father's gift to be a marvelous storyteller, and as the wide-eyed boy listened to the story, the character of Armistead became real, alive. When they reached the Union side of the field, the father led the boy up and over the low stone wall, advancing as Armistead himself had done, staring into the barrels of Union cannon, cannon that stand there today. The father stopped to read a small concrete marker, curiously, the only one adorned by a small Confederate flag. It was the spot where Lewis Armistead had fallen. The father had not known of the marker, stared at it for a long moment with tears in his eyes. The story was real to him as well. It was the first time the boy had seen his father cry. The father was Michael Shera, a published author who was known primarily as a short story writer. The son was me. Our visit to Gettysburg was about discovery, a family of tourists wandering through the trees and pathways, a boy and his young sister climbing on cannons while their parents read the hundreds of plaques, learning the names, some familiar, Lee and Longstreet, some not so familiar, Reynolds and Buford. We climbed the hills as well, one in particular, a rocky prominence called Little Round Top, where the father was drawn to another monument that detailed a little-known group of Union soldiers who had held the end of the line, the tail end of the entire Union position, against a relentless attack by Confederate troops. That unit was the 20th Maine. Their commander was Colonel Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. Chamberlain had been a college professor, was a master of language, a man who, above all else, wanted to be a soldier. My father became excited about this character, felt immediately that he knew him. They were the same kind of man. That vacation inspired my father to begin an odyssey that took 7 years to complete, and the result was a manuscript that he titled The Killer Angels. Michael Shera was no historian, was not bound by any conventional rules on how to tell a story about what happened at Gettysburg. What he wrote was something that had never been written before, a story of the battle as told from the points of view of the characters themselves, the men who made the decisions, who created their own history and ours on that extraordinary piece of ground. It was a novel. Something different as well, because his story took you into the minds of each character, put words in their mouths, something no historian would dare to do. It was a radical way to view history. And in New York, the publishing world had no idea what to make of it. The manuscript was turned down by the first 15 publishers who read it. Finally, in 1973, a small independent publisher, the David McKay Company, took a chance on The Killer Angels. Releasing it the next year in very limited quantities, the publisher made no effort to promote the book, and those critics who bothered to read it had decidedly lukewarm opinions about this new way of looking at history. To Michael Shara's enormous disappointment, it was clear that his book was destined to disappear to the dusty shelves of obscure libraries. Then, a miracle happened.